This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday for another hour of old-time radio. We'll begin with Breakfast in Hollywood, something a little different from what we normally hear. That's followed up with Believe It or Not and Bar Bill. Finish off with Author's Playhouse and Southern Exposure, their episode from September 15th, 1944.
Transcribed from Tom Gentleman's own restaurant on Vine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard, Kellogg's Pep and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes serve you breakfast in Hollywood. Friends, nowadays our restaurant is specializing in not only steaks, but also delicious hams and crisp pork sausages. And here's where they come from. No, it isn't a fat little piggy or a grunting old sow. It's just that big old boar, Tom Brenneman.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies. And hello, everybody out there at the other end of the network. Good morning from the ladies having breakfast in Hollywood. Here we are starting another week of these daily visits, which some laughingly call a radio program. It's rumored. What an introduction. Again, we have a house full of ladies and their lesser halves. They come from all over the nation, too. Seems like Southern California is just full of visitors these days. People taking that vacation that they've kind of been putting off for a long time. And we're going to find out where some of them come from as we open this Ivory Flakes portion of our little shindig. I think we'll start with you. Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Clarence Young. And I come from Orleans, Cape Cod, my summer home.
My, you were a long way from home, aren't you?
Yes, my first trip.
You spend your winters out here, do you?
No, I've never been here before.
Uh-huh. Your first trip to California.
Yes.
Well, you've hit some mighty nice weather.
I love it.
Oh, sure.
It's
cold back there now, isn't it?
Well,
but it's lovely in Cape Cod in the summer.
It's lovely there, and we hope you'll come and see us sometime.
Well, thank you. I accept the invitation.
I'll be very happy to welcome you to Cape Cod.
Oh, fine.
Shady Lawn.
Do you have a place there that I can sleep? And
I do, and I can give you twin beds and private bath.
Twin beds and private bath? Well, do you set a good table?
I don't. Well, I can.
Well,
some good lobsters.
You have good lobsters.
Clams and oysters.
You don't by chance run a boarding house or something?
No, I do not.
All right, then.
But I like good food.
What? I like good food. Well, that's fine. Well, you leave your name and address before you go, won't you, Miss Young?
I will.
Well, you can't tell where I'll wind up. I don't know. Then who are you?
I'm Mrs. Arnold Flint from Ettrick, Wisconsin.
Good. Oh, buddy, who are you? What's your name?
Corporal Arnold Flint from Metro, Wisconsin.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And let's see. Let's go over here. We have a buddy over here in the neighbor. What's your name, son?
Name is George Simmons.
Where are you?
Plymouth, Michigan.
From Plymouth, Michigan. Let's get the little lady here. Who are you?
Natalie Jordan from Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles. And you?
Mally Burroughs from Hollywood.
Good. Those ladies in the wheelchair. Now that we're going up here and meet some more folks, let's stop here. What's your name?
Mrs. Edward Arnie.
Arnie.
A-R-N-Y, not Arnica.
Yeah, Arnie. Where do you live, Miss Arnie?
In St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been here since the second day of December, and we come out here every winter and spend our winters.
Yes.
And I would like to come and live, but my husband doesn't want to, so of course I have to stay with him.
All right. Well, how long have you been married, Miss Arnie?
Well, to my former husband, I was married 40 years.
Yeah.
And then that was in Oregon, and my children and here buried in Hood River, Oregon.
Yeah.
Then I went home and married this schoolmate of mine.
Ah.
And his sister had married my brother, so we're all in the family. And then we decided to come out here in our wintertime. I have two grandchildren, one living in Paris and
one. Do you mind if I pull up a chair? Get on me now.
And one living in Monterey Park. Of course, that brings me because they're orphans.
Yeah.
They have neither father nor mother. And, of course, I'm interested in coming, but then I would like to come. I like to come anywhere. I like it out here.
Johnny. Johnny, get her a cigar, will you? That'll keep her quiet. She's very nice. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you say, honey?
I'll take this to my grandchild, but seeing that I don't use it myself.
Okay, ma'am. Say, you've got a pretty big shopping bag there. You wouldn't by chance have some of our silverware in there, too. She's all right. All right, Miss Arnie. Who are you?
Rosemay Holden, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Rosemay Holden, Tulsa. Mm-hmm. You play bridge? Don't you? Are you lucky at cards? Well, let me tell you, if you want to hold good hands or have good hands, be a woman who. I'm getting around to it slowly but surely. A woman who uses ivory flakes for the dishes as well as for her lovely clothes. Because one box of flakes is all it takes for prettier, younger-looking hands, and that's right. If you play your cards right, you won't stop at ivory flakes your smart clothes. You'll realize your hands deserve the same freight, too, and you'll pour those glistening ivory flakes into the dishpan. Now listen, if you wash dishes with a strong wash day soap, well, don't be surprised if your hands get to looking as spotty as the 10 of diamonds. And if you've got losing hands because you finessed with the wrong soap, let me urge you, start dishwashing in ivory flakes, the pure, mild flake form of baby's ivory soap. One box of flakes, don't forget. One box of flakes is all it takes for prettier, younger-looking hands. That's the winning trick, ivory flakes for dishes. For a double reason, ivory flakes are faster sudsing, too. They spring into suds faster than you can trump your partner's ace, faster than the fastest leading wash day soaps. Learn the rules of the game for speed, for suds, for prettier, younger-looking hands. And here it comes. Only one box of flakes. That is all it takes. Pure ivory flakes. We're going for... You can't fool me with that applause. I know better. We're going to for a hat now. Where you going, Miss Arnie? Huh? What'd you say? What is it, Miss
Arnie? These ladies can smoke if they want to, but it affects me.
Oh, you...
So I just thought I'd move over here.
Well, come on up here, Miss Arnie. I mean, she smoke bothers her a little bit. Put her up here in the chair. Yes, sit right there.
How do you do, everybody?
You're what?
I'm 83 years old, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, you're 83. Now, you behave yourself. We're going for a hat now. I saw that one, Johnny, and I see another one back in there. There's a green one there. Yeah. That kind of looks like a green potter puff that sits somewhere. I spotted another one, too, somewhere. I don't know where I saw it. No, that wasn't it. It was down somewhere. Well, they're full of those potter puff numbers this morning. There it is, yeah. I see. Oh, this is a little dandy. What is your name?
Ann Granny from Buffalo, New York.
Well, come on, Ann, get it off. I want to try it on. What's your name, buddy?
William George Rump.
From where?
Philadelphia.
Runk?
Rump.
Rump.
Joe McAtee of St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Fellas in the Navy. Yeah, this is it. Just look at that thing. Well, it's just only about a half. It looks a half of a beanie. And it's it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little feathers on them. It looks like the... Yes, it looks like the... the south end of a rabbit going north. I wonder how in the world anybody would concoct a model like that. Takes Bobby so long. He said it right down on the top of her head like that. Get out of this. What are they? Oh, so they are. They're little... No, they're horses' heads, huh? I didn't notice that. That must be the horse's mane. 5 little horses. Would you take it back and also take her those... That pair of ring clear nylons. I won't laugh at that. It's a little gift. Thanks for your hat, honey. Huh? It's ridiculous. Well, we're going to award our wishing ring now. How you doing, Miss Arnie?
Oh, fine.
That's good. Who are you, sir? You're a swell audience. What's your name?
Stanley Marshall from Berlin, Wisconsin.
Fine. Mr. Marshall, will you draw a number out of here?
And this is the Cowdrey from the Long Beach.
What? This will win our wishing ring. It's, a low number, 27. 27. Hello, Chief. Where's your home?
Dalgren, Illinois, I guess.
What's your name?
James Volliver.
James?
Volliver.
Volliver. Huh? He's Chief. Hello there. And who are you?
I'm Rose Blackford from Dundee, Illinois.
Rose?
Blackford.
Oh, Blackford.
Yes.
From Dundee, Illinois.
Dundee,
what
Illinois.
What part of the state is Dundee, Miss Blackford?
Well, I'm too excited to tell you right now.
All I mean is it close to Chicago?
Yes, it's about 35 miles northwest of Chicago.
Oh, well, it's a suburban district of Chicago, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, a lot of people live in Blackford and work in Chicago, is that right?
In Dundee, you mean.
I mean in Dundee, yes. That's what I meant. And to tell me Mrs. Blackford, did you raise a family?
I have 2 daughters.
And where are they?
I have a daughter in... San Diego, and have a daughter in Fox River Grove, Illinois.
Oh, yes. And you're out here visiting your daughter in San Diego?
Yes, and I came over 2,000 miles to see my birthday present.
A little
granddaughter.
Oh, isn't that nice. Born on your birthday.
Born on my birthday.
Mm-hmm. When is your birthday? What is your date of your
12th
birthday?
12th of December.
The 12th of December. Isn't that grand? Your first grandchild?
No, my second grandchild.
Second. Uh-huh.
I have a little grandson in... Fox River.
Fox River. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. Does the baby look like the mother or the father?
Well, my daughter says it looks like her, but has her husband's ears.
Poor Poppy always gets it, doesn't she?
My son-in-law is the manager of the Emig Manor Hotel at San Diego.
The what is he? Is what?
He's the manager of the Emig Manor Hotel.
In San Diego?
In San Diego.
Oh, Emig Manor.
Yes.
He's manager.
Yes.
He's been in the hotel business a good many years?
Well, off and on, he's been in the service. He was in the service 4.5 years.
Well, what did he do in the service, Ms.?
He was in the Marine.
In the Marine Corps.
Yes.
Well, this is the wishing ring you won, Mrs. Blackford.
Well, it certainly is a thrill. I had no idea that I'd ever get this near to Tom Brenneman.
Well, I got big ears, too, you see. Well, that's awfully nice. Let's put it on the pinky finger, shall we, Miss Blackford? Now then.
That's beautiful.
Oh, we think so. We're very proud of those. Now I want you to make a wish.
Well, I heard Mary Pickford make her plea for the... donations for the March of Dimes for the polo victims, and I think that would be a nice wish.
Well, I think it's a grand wish you're making. Uh-huh. And we just hope that everybody will do their very utmost to meet the quotas in the various localities.
That was my wish.
Well, that's a grand wish, Miss Blackwood.
I just know you'd make a wish like that. Yes, let's put the March of Dimes way over the top. Blackford, come here. Because you made that wish, I'm going to give you a box of these lovely roses. Well, she didn't think of herself. There you are.
Thank you. I never thought anything like this would ever happen to me.
Well, you never know. You're in Hollywood now, honey.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for that wish. And good luck. Well, that will about conclude the first portion of Breakfast in Hollywood, brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes. Fewer flakes, mild flakes, they're ivory flakes. This next portion of our little shindig brings you greetings from the grand old Kellogg Company of Battle Creek, Michigan. Kellogg's, makers of pep, good pep. Here's our good neighbor letter, then we'll meet Uncle Corny. The good neighbor letter this morning comes from Los Angeles in Hollywood. Very unusual letter, and certainly my pleasure to read it. It says, Dear Tom, along with several other more famous members of the Lakeside Golf Club, I am writing you relative to a good neighbor who is a former president of this club. He is Maury Luxford, who lives at 10118 Riverside Drive in North Hollywood. A former star athlete and an officer in the First World War, Maury Luxford did more for the war effort in World War No. 2 than any other man connected with the game of golf. He's an ardent golfer, and during the war, he arranged all the victory tournaments staged throughout Southern California. He did not play in them himself, but had all the hard work of arranging them. I know how hard he worked, Tom, because I was with him on many of the tournaments. It is a matter of record that through Maury Luxford's efforts, more than $1 million worth of war bonds were sold, and more than $50,000, yes, much more, was raised for worthwhile charities, mostly charities from which servicemen benefited. Hundreds of Hollywood's leading personalities gathered the other night to honor Maury Luxford. It was a remarkable thing for Hollywood when there's generally some underlying motive for a testimonial dinner. But this was just a dinner to a swell guy. And I think the ladies of Breakfast in Hollywood would like to join in recognizing Maury as a good neighbor. You couldn't honor a more deserving or nicer man. Very sincerely yours, the letter is signed by Braven Dyer of the Los Angeles Times, Jack Carson, Bob Hope, Charlie Colburn, Jimmy McLarnon, Edgar Kennedy, Oliver Hardy, Pat McCormick, and countless other members of the Lakeside Golf Club. Well, this is the very first time since the inception of our program that I've had the honor of personally presenting the Good Neighbor Orchid in advance of the reading of the letter. And at this swell testimonial dinner that Braven writes about, the likes of which I've never seen in my many years in Hollywood, it was my pleasure to present Maury with that orchid. And I feel that those of you who listen to our little program would also like to know that we have good neighbors in Hollywood. And if we had more like Maury, well, you know the rest. So this morning we honor as a good neighbor, Maury Luxford, 10118, Riverside Drive, North Hollywood, California. He has been made our good neighbor today. Hello, Corny. How are you this morning?
Well, I feel pretty good today.
Well, you look pretty good.
Yeah, well, I got some bad news. Cousin Chester's in jail again.
Oh, that's too bad. What's wrong? What did he do this time?
Well, he was sent up for burglary.
You mean he's a second-story man?
Yeah, that's right. When the cops wouldn't believe his first story, he told them a second one.
See? Well, imagine a clumsy guy like Chester thinking he can get away with burglarizing people's homes.
Oh, he ain't so clumsy. Say, with that new kit of burglar tools, that guy can open anything.
Anything?
Yeah, except the door Richard's behind.
He had a complete kit of tools, eh?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't quite complete. What he needed most is the burglar's favorite tool, a Stewart.
A burglar's favorite tool, a Stewart?
Yeah, that's a long, thin Jimmy. Don't you get it, Jimmy?
Let it alone. Well, it goes to prove that crime certainly doesn't pay, Corny, especially when the criminal's as stupid as Chester. Well, Johnny Nelson told me that Chester would try to get married on his bride and groom show three different times by using different names.
Oh, that Chester, he's one of them criminals that uses a lot of aliases.
He is.
Yeah, the boys in his gang knowed him as Melonhead Mittendorf. Yeah, and the newspapers called him the Fox. Then down around the police station, they call him the Salmon.
Down at the police station, they call him the Salmon.
Yeah, because every spring he goes up the river.
Well, Corny, you won't have to deliver the orchid this morning. It's already been presented.
Okie dokie. See you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.
So long, Corny. Say, Mom, would you send your youngster off to school on a stormy day without a coat or overshoes to protect him? Of course not. Well, how about his breakfast? A good breakfast is a form of protection, too. When breakfast includes a big bowl of Kellogg's Pep, so much the better. For come winter, Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal, is extra valuable on the breakfast table. Sunny-looking, sunny-tasting Pep has been fortified to fortify your youngsters. Day in and day out, snow or sleet, rain or shine, just a regular one-ounce serving of these swell-tasting whole wheat flakes provides the day's need of sunny vitamin D. Vitamin D, you know, helps build strong bones and teeth. And Pep is one of the very few foods that gives you so much of this valuable vitamin in just one serving. Besides, these crisp, fresh, golden toasted flakes provide you with a bonus of energy vitamin B1, twice as much as good whole wheat. And whole wheat is famous for fine nutrition. And besides all that, Pep is the grandest tasting bowlful you can imagine. Sunny looking, sunny tasting Pep is a cereal to enjoy. A cereal to depend on. Remember, day in and day out, you get sunshine vitamin D from Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal. So get Hep to Pep. It's a Pip. Now then, it's orchid time. And we're going to award our lovely Armroy orchid to our eldest guest. And we know that Mrs. Arney is 83. Mrs. Arney is 83. 87. Wait a minute. 87. Oh! 94. Well, I guess that's a winner. That was a good, robust 94, too. Here she is, 94. Well, I didn't see her. Hello there. Who are you?
Mrs. Sterling.
Mrs. what?
Sterling.
Well, come on, Miss Sterling. Let's go out and meet the lady, shall we? What's your first name?
Molly.
Molly?
Molly E. Sterling.
Molly E. Sterling. Where do you live, Miss Sterling?
I live at 2114.
Raleigh Way.
In Ocean Park. Well, come on. Can we walk out here, Miss Sterling?
Oh.
Now, watch that step, honey.
Oh.
That's it. All right. Here she is. Right out here in the spotlight. Now, don't go too fast. Don't wait for me here. Mrs. Molly Sterling from Ocean Park, the 94. What'd you say, Miss Sterling?
I say, who told you that?
Who told me that you were 94?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I've got spies all over this place. Well, somebody back there, someone of your... you lean against the desk, you want to, Miss Sterling. 94, when were you 94?
Why, it's the 14th of this month, it'll be 94.
Oh, you're not quite 94.
Not quite, no. Not quite 94.
Well, pretty close.
Yes?
Yeah.
Closer I want to be.
Closer you want to be, yeah. Miss Sterling, where were you born?
Indiana.
In Indiana.
Yes. Close to Logansport.
You lived most of your years there, did you?
Oh, I've been here about 50 years.
You've been in California 50 years?
Yeah.
Well, my goodness.
Yeah.
1897. Came here in 1897.
Yes, just about that.
My goodness, that was 20 years before I was born, Miss Sterling.
I was older than enough then to be having
the second... Huh?
I was old enough then to have the second husband.
You were old... You were old enough then to have a second husband.
Yeah.
You've been married twice, eh?
I've been married twice.
Mm-hmm. You what? Yeah. She was February 14th, was Valentine's Day. I told you to be quiet, Arnie. No, I didn't. That's Mrs. Arnie. Back here. Come on over and meet her, Miss Sterling. She's a gabby soul, but just... Miss Arnie, this is Miss Sterling.
I'm glad to meet you and welcome, congratulate you on your birthday, which will be
You're getting old,
Yes, but not so old, but what I sing and give readings.
She's
you ought to hear
me.
83.
83, yes, pardon me.
The 17th day of January. Oh, yes, I expect to live as old as you are.
I told you, she gets wound up. Get her wound up and never stop. You raised a family, Miss Sterling.
I had three.
Three.
Three children. Boy, a girl and two boys.
How much you? How many of your family you have left?
One boy.
Just one boy. You have grandchildren?
Oh, I've got three grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
And four great-grandchildren.
Uh-huh. Four great-grandchildren.
And the oldest great-grandchildren is going to get married soon.
Going to get married soon? Why, golly, you might have a great-great-great, huh?
I assume mean great-great.
Good.
That's always the first thing on program, anyhow.
What is it?
That's the first thing on program.
That's first thing on the program.
He's a soldier.
Oh, dear. You're wonderful. Miss, do you live alone?
I live with my son.
You live with your son?
I see.
You kind of keep a house to
Well,
you?
He's 67 years old. He's working every day, though, every night with her.
He is 67. He works every day.
Every night.
Uh-huh. What does he do, Miss Sterling?
Well, he's working up here in Holly, up in Beverly Hills, in a hotel.
Uh-huh. And he works at night, and you kind of take care of his home for him.
I take care of the home for him. What I can see, I can't see for him. Well, I can't do my washing iron or pay soul and read. Mm-hmm. That's what I miss.
That's what you miss. Miss your reading. Well, you listen to your radio.
Oh, I do that every day. I guess I hear you every day.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm glad.
Yes.
Well, Mrs. Sterling, we have a wonderful present for you.
Okay, I did hold it close to my name.
Oh, honey, there it is. Yeah. That's our orchid.
Oh, that's a big, beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
That's your flower, and it's for your birthday.
Oh, it's for my birthday?
Yeah.
Well, I'm much obliged.
It'll keep for a couple of weeks. If you'll just keep it
in a cool place.
That's right. Keep it in a cool place.
Well, that's
and have you ever had an orchid before?
No.
Have you, huh?
No, I never had one. Oh, is that pretty?
Well, I want to tell you what's the first thing on the program around here. Whenever we give her an orchid, we also give him a little kiss.
Kiss an old woman.
You bet. You know, Miss Sterling, you know something? I'd like to get you a little birthday present. I'd hardly know what to get you. Huh? I'm going to give you a little money here. And I don't usually do this, but by golly, I just won a few dollars at the races one day last week. And I'm going to give you just $20. I want you to go get yourself a nice hat or something, huh?
Well, do you think I need it?
Well, just get it. No, you don't need it. You get yourself a nice hat and then come back, will you, and let us see it. Okay?
All right, I will do that. I will do that.
All right. Goodbye, and God bless you, and happy birthday to you.
Cumberland Pepsi Company is brought to you, friends, at the same time every day, Monday through Friday, by Kellogg's Pep and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes.
When you wake up in the morning and the air is frosty, lady, that's Crumbles weather. Just calls for a toasty kind of cereal with zip and go. Calls for toasty words like crisp, crunchy, crinkly. Crumbles just fits, doesn't it? Kellogg's Crumbles, sort of sweet and mellow rich. The only cereal made in those little crinkly shreds of good whole wheat. It's Crumbles weather, lady. Time for crisp, crunchy, crinkly Crumbles. Kellogg's Crumbles. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. Girls in Nidwald in Switzerland don't waste any time in making known they're marriageable. The girls wear a single pin in their hair that's shaped exactly like a Cupid's arrow. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the story of a bar bill that led to a fiery disaster. The castle of Runkelstein, Italy, suffered an extraordinary fate. A friend of its owner, Duke Frederick of Tyrol, had run up a bar bill of $20 and found himself unable to pay. He sent a messenger to Runkelstein Castle asking his friend for a loan. He said he'd give the money only if the Duke appeared in person. The Duke never forgave his friend for this insult, and he later attacked the castle with an army and destroyed it. Believe it or not.
Author's Playhouse. Author's Playhouse presents tonight a story of romance south of the border. In Mexico City's gay Hotel Pizarro, one of the world's few remaining luxury hotels. Its lobby is crowded with tourists, three of whom we're particularly interested in. Before we go any further, though, it might be a good idea to make the acquaintance of the persons in question. Hank Kramer, the reporter, for example.
I got a telegram from the office. A character by the name of Manchester Smallwood's coming in this morning. The magazine wants us to cover his arrival with story and pictures.
And then his photographer, petite Mary Jane Fraser.
Don't disturb me. Genius at work. This picture of Manchester Smallwood in the throes of a samba is going to be the crowning point of my career.
And last, but by no means least, Mr. Big himself, Manchester Smallwood.
Will you be kind enough to put away your camera? I do not wish any pictures taken. My affairs are definitely not your concern.
Now, if all of this leaves you with the impression that all is not too neighborly among the northern good neighbors, you're right. But it all leads to merriment in Mexico, beginning on an early morning of a bright, warm day. It's too beautiful for work, but just right for idling in the sunshine. So says Mary Jane Fraser in Robert Carson's story, Southern Exposure.
Good morning, Hank, old dear. Meet a different woman.
I'd love to. Where?
Oh, very funny. Very funny, Mr. Kramer. Look, this is our first day in Mexico City. I have no pictures to take. You have no story to write for our magazine of the masses. We go to Sanborn's for breakfast, a nice, long, luxurious breakfast. Then we'll go sit in the park on a sunny bench with the rest of the bums.
I got a telegram from the office.
Uh-oh.
A character by the name of Manchester Smallwood's coming in this morning. They want us to cover his arrival.
What's he coming for? To fight a bull?
He's not coming to fight anybody. This is good neighbor stuff with our sister republic. A big, delicate deal.
Well, why is he news? Is the Truman Committee after him?
He's probably going to see the president here and everybody. You seem politically ignorant, honey.
Oh, I'm not ignorant. I just can't think without my breakfast, that's all. What's cooking with this Manchester?
Oh, Manchester's a hot man for putting the fix on Latin America's troubles. Every time there's a heartache south of the border, he does a Mr. Anthony. He speaks Spanish with a strong University of Wisconsin accent.
I don't get it.
Well, this Manchester was a child lawyer back in the days when they were calling for a new deal. He had a deck that wasn't marked, so they dragged him into Washington, and he's been there ever since. Nothing flashy about Manchester, but he gets results.
Yeah, never heard of him. Shall we go to breakfast before I faint?
They say in New York it's important. If it was me now, I'd photograph the guy and hear his pitiful little story.
Right after breakfast.
Later. His plane gets here in 40 minutes. I checked with the desk.
Oh, you Simon Legree. Why does life have to be so bitter for a lone woman?
A woman must suffer, my child. Mm. It's the woman who pays, especially if she can get a good job like you have. Go, senorita, and procure your little picture-taking black box.
Don't let anyone get away, Hank.
Nope.
Now, let's see. One Navy guy, and if I charged him for looking, I could make a fortune.
Yeah.
One fat Mexican senor, a lady with a baby. Ask her, Hank. That might be Smallwood she's carrying.
No sarcasm, sweetheart. This is big time you're sneering at. Hey, I think coming up is our man. He's the last one up.
Speaking as an acute professional, I should say the lad's no pin-up boy. But there is character in his kisser. You know, he looks a little like Gary Cooper playing Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, well, come on. We'll give him a chance to free the slaves. Mr. Smallwood?
Manchester?
That is correct, sir.
I'd know you any place, especially when you gave me your name. How are you feeling? Enjoy your trip?
Very much. May I ask your name?
Yes, you may, but it just take up time and we have work to do. Now, I have the honor of representing Lens, the greatest weekly picture magazine in the world.
Why, he's pretty. Stick him in the doorway.
I beg your pardon.
Now, just back up. Look at the lady with the camera and let's see a big, happy smile. This can be quick if you cooperate.
No, Smallwood, I've changed my mind. Go back in the plane and come out for me. And bend low as you do, so I'll have a little light breaking over you. And let's see your teeth.
Madam, would you be kind enough to put away your camera? I do not wish any pictures taken.
Oh, I don't think you understand. We're from a picture magazine, Lens.
I understand perfectly, and I don't want my picture taken.
Are you kidding? Everybody wants his picture taken.
There is always the exception that proves the rule, madam. I am that exception. Good day.
Did you hear what he called me? Madam.
Yeah.
They can't do that to Mame.
Follow me, madam. This requires a little diplomacy. We'll nab him in customs.
Say, I could steal a shot from here. Not very clear.
No, but... no, that wouldn't be ethical. And they beef about fuzzy stuff at the office. Somebody has to make that boy see the light, and I'm just the cookie to do it. He's begging for the Super X treatment. You wait here for me.
Hang on a minute. He'll be at our hotel. He's got a reservation there.
Yeah, that isn't all he's got. Strong principles, too. Doesn't drink, besides, and doesn't smoke. His only vice is taking long walks, alone.
Hush your chatter, son, and make with the running. The porter's piling his luggage into a cab, and we, too, are homeward bound.
I know.
Pardon me, Mr. Smallwood. I hear you're going to the Pizarro. That's our hotel. Do you mind if we share a ride?
Not at all, madam.
Mary Jane Fraser. You've already met my father here.
Hmm.
Get in, Daddy.
Wait.
Ouch!
Now then, Mr. Smallwood, leave me have your views on the deal you're handling here and make them colorful.
I am in Mexico entirely unofficially. The purpose of my trip is rest and relaxation. I do not desire to have anything printed about me.
Fine, fine. I hear you're going to meet with a lot of high government officials.
You have been misinformed.
Look, Smallwood, now we better be frank with each other. This is getting us nowhere.
I'll be frank with you, Mr. Kramer. My affairs are definitely not your concern. I won't answer any of your questions. I suggest you stop bothering me.
This Manchester, I don't like him.
Eat your breakfast and don't quibble.
Oh.
He's a fine, upstanding kid. They probably told him to come down here with a clamp on his lip.
Yeah.
You know, one reason he's done so well is because he never gets into any trouble. You mustn't confuse his public life with his private life. His private life's undoubtedly awful.
His public life's going to be awful by the time I'm through with him.
And you will arrange that how, senorita?
By means known only to myself. I may put a flower in my hair, wear a long black dress, and carry castanets. Remember the story of Carmen?
Nope, never knew the dame. But I expect to get a lot of laughs out of you, and maybe a jail sentence.
Oh, don't worry, Pappy. Tomorrow's Sunday. I always behave that day. Monday, we cover all the sights of Mexico City. I'll be under your eagle eye.
And Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Don't move too quickly. Let me help you. Are you badly hurt, madam?
I don't know. My ankle...
You haven't fractured it?
Oh, no, no, no. It's only a bad sprain, I think.
Well, in that case, you mustn't put any weight on it. I'll carry you. Shall it be the hotel?
Oh, you're too kind. It's so dark out here. Yes, this is my hotel.
Can you place an arm about my neck?
Why, Smallwood, this is so unexpected.
Oh, it's Miss Fraser. Not at all. You see, in order to facilitate our progress under what might be difficulties...
I wouldn't dream of causing you difficulty. There, is that better?
Yes, quite.
Perhaps if I leaned my head on your shoulder, I could relax more.
That is certainly a point to consider.
Considered and found satisfactory. Are you comfortable?
Yes, very. That is, you're light as a feather to hold.
Oh, you're nice to take pity on poor little me.
Not a bit. My good fortune. I didn't know you enjoyed strolling in the evening.
Oh, I adore the simple pleasures. Walking, reading.
I assure you it's a pleasure to be of service.
Manchester, you must be for whom the girls scout. You're so very sweet.
Not at all. I hope to be able to get you safely through this crowded lobby.
Do you see Hank around?
Yes, I believe he's there at the desk.
Oh, Uncle Henry!
What's happened? Mary Jane, speak to me.
Please get Miss Fraser's key. I must take her to her room.
Why, get... What?
She'll need hot water for her ankle.
Oh, please don't worry about me, Manchester. I'll be all right. I only hope you didn't wreck your back carrying me up to my room.
Not at all. I liked it. I mean, helping you.
You're awfully strong.
Not at all. That is no stronger than any man my size. Mr. Kramer could have carried you just as well.
Oh, no, he couldn't.
It was so wonderful, your being there. I don't know what I'd have done. I was frightened out of my wits.
You're very brave for such a little girl.
Oh, really, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yikes!
Something bothering you, Mr. Kramer?
No.
How can I ever thank you, Manchester? I know I've put you to a great deal of trouble.
Not at all.
You know, we seem to have so many things in common that I'd like to talk over. We ought to... Wait a minute. What about tonight? Hank and his girlfriend and I have planned a little celebration.
Yes, well...
Yes, you remember. Could you join us?
Celebration?
Yes, you know, a nightclub or two and maybe a ride along the Paseo in an open taxi.
It sounds delightful. I shall be happy to join you.
Oh, that's swell. Let's make it 8 o'clock, hmm?
8 o'clock it is. I look forward to seeing you. And you, sir?
Yes, not at all. Mary Jane, not that. You didn't use that old lady in distress, Chestnut.
That I did. There he is, walking up and down the Paseo, and a fellow Anglo-Saxon takes a fall right in front of him.
Mm.
Turns out to be a girl from his own hotel, so he picks her up. I had my arms around his neck and groaned and whispered in his ear the whole trip. And by an odd coincidence, I was wearing a perfume called Bewilderment. You see what happened.
Yeah, but they don't go for that anymore. That turned ankle trick was washed up in the 90s.
History, Henry, has a habit of repeating itself.
Yeah, and you have a habit of being right. Well, when do I hear the rest of the plot?
Now.
Fine.
We're going to do a story on how Marvelous Manchester spends his spare time during a mission to Mexico. With pictures. My angle is to furnish him with some spare time and photograph it.
I get it.
Yours is to take down his thoughts, if any, and furnish a continuity, if any.
Hmm.
With luck, we ought to be able to give him quite a reputation in the nation's capital. Do you mind?
To coin a phrase, not at all. But I bet Manchester's going to. Furthermore, that guy, though backward in many respects, is too smart to fall for such an open and shut routine. Now, you mark my words.
You mark mine. I've turned the fatal powers of my fascination on him. If he bought the ankle stuff, he'll buy anything. There's little left to do except knock him off.
Well, thanks for the interview. Be careful that poison dripping from your fangs doesn't ruin your toothbrush.
Say, you surprise me. You know, speaking frankly, I expected that treading a few measures with you might leave me a maimed woman, and here I am floating around like 60.
I learned to dance very thoroughly as part of my job. You never know whose wife you'll have to dance with in the light of duty, and an agreement might be wrecked by stepping on the wrong toes.
I see. On your rumba may depend hemispheric solidarity. Do you ever have to make love in the course of your duties?
Not at all.
Oh, that's a pity, Manchester.
Why do you say that?
Life and love, inseparable, you know.
So the philosophers tell us.
Very true.
I hadn't given them any thought before.
Oh, but you should. Well, you're forgetting that love makes the world go round. In some way or another, it's behind all our actions. You'd find that out if you knew more people.
But I do. I meet scores of them all the time.
Oh, those people you meet have sandwiched their real selves away. Just like the guy who parades along Broadway between two boards. You barely see him, but you can't miss what he's advertising.
But these people don't advertise. They're not commercial.
Oh, you grow younger by the minute, honey child. Look, everyone who isn't dead advertises something. Beauty, brains, poverty, wickedness. Only you have to be able to distinguish the real thing from the buildup he gives himself.
You amaze me. Let us take a specific example. I see a petite figure, curly brown hair, deep blue eyes. Now tell me, Miss Fraser, what other hidden quality should I search for?
Well, to make it colorful, let's say treachery, deceit, and just plain skullduggery.
You try too hard to deny the evidence. As an eyewitness, I believe you are forthright and loyal. Too kind-hearted to take advantage of anyone.
At heart, I'm really a double-dyed, double-crossing gal.
Not at all. I shall prove how wrong you are.
Leave us practice on me some other time. Right now, I want Hank's girlfriend to know that you cut a mean rug.
I hope Senorita Curie will favor me with a dance.
I'm sure she will. And here we are at the table. Amata, see, you won't have to spend the whole evening waltzing with Willie.
Henry Kramer is the name, and I'll thank you to have a little respect for my twinkling. Thank you, twinkling.
Little as possible. Mm. What I want to get across to Amata is Manchester's play with the samba.
Oh, senor, you like the samba?
And with Manchester, Spanish goes, Amata. Mm. He's our gift to Mexico, and he comes complete.
Oh, bravo. Then we must speak together. Tell me, do you find our country interesting?
Oh, si, senorita. A mí, me gusta machismo todo el México.
Here's your chance, baby. Make with the camera.
Manchester, this little device I have in my hand is a thing I keep for recording many a jolly moment. And then I put the photographs in my album and spend the lonely evenings remembering what big times I've had. Would it annoy you, Manchester, if I committed this clam back to film?
Of course not.
Good.
Not at all.
Now, how about a special one of you framed with these cunning little wine glasses?
Care to dance this one, Amata?
I would love to.
Excuse us.
Oh, not at all.
Look, it'll be giving away no secrets to tell you you're out with a gent who's getting himself photographed right into oblivion.
Oh, you mean that character Smallwood?
Right.
Oh, I'm glad he is. You know, Spanish is a musical language, but he makes it sound like basic English. Oh, my ears, they still hurt.
Yeah, well, pretty quick your feet will, too, but we're staying right out here until the murder's over.
Now, with that many flash bulbs and all the angles she is covering him from, Mary Jane is committing it all right. But we will have to go back for the main event.
Huh? What are you saying?
Well, Mary Jane wants a shot of Manchester doing the samba, and I promised to take him on. He should look cute doing that little jump in the middle of it.
Woman's inhumanity to man.
Dance me back to the table.
Okay.
Senor Smallwood, have you forgotten our samba? This music is what we have been waiting for.
Right here, Senorita Curie. Pardon us, please.
Not at all.
They make cheese in Wisconsin, of which we have with us a sample brand.
I ought to wash your mouth out with scotch.
Don't disturb me. Genius at work. This picture of Smallwood in the throes of a samba is going to be the crowning shot of my career.
I mean it. You are very good, senor.
Not at all.
Oh, this has been a wonderful party. I hope all my exposures were right. Then I'll have some swell memories for a cold, rainy night back home.
Leaving well enough alone, I should say we'd better shove off. You all set, Amata?
Si, you're set, then.
We'll join you in the foyer immediately.
Right on.
Now that we're alone, Miss Fraser, I just want to say that this has been one of the happiest nights of my life, and that I hope the pictures turn out well.
Thanks. So do I.
Although I may have seemed to pay a good deal of attention to Senorita Curie, my thoughts were actually elsewhere. On you, to be exact, you are my main interest.
Well, I'll be darned. When did that start?
When you pretended to sprain your ankle and let me carry you.
I never enjoyed lifting anything so much as you.
So that's what he tells me at the table last night.
Kid yourself. The pride of Madison's catching on, or was wise from the start. His next step is to take your cute little camera and bust it over your cute little head. And cameras are hard to get these days.
So are men who can dance. Maybe I should go easy on him from now on.
What do you mean, from now on?
Oh, that's what I started to tell you. He wants to come along on the rest of the trips we have to take. And I've been thinking, Hank, all last night...
You feel a little strain? You shouldn't overdo it, you know, the first time.
Save your poisoned arrows, friend. My conscience isn't bothering me yet. It's well trained. Look, the guy is direct and honest, smart in his own government way. He's got a dignity I like, too, and after the wolves of three continents, he's a refreshing change.
Then one day he'll be seeing himself in the pages of Lens, and there'll be another change. He won't be associating anymore with the female of the species, which, rumor has it, is deadlier than the male. Here we are in Tasco after what I call a good week's work. The town's the same, but I'll never be.
Oh, nonsense. We've only put in a day, and besides, remember the vacation angle. You not only have a story on Tasco, but you got it firsthand, not out of the National Geographic.
I guess I'll always remember Tasco. A beautiful place. The drive up out of the valley and over the mountains to 5,600 feet high and life in another century.
And I'll always remember you, Manchester. You've been a right guy about all these pictures. I've got you in a boat at Zacamilco. There's one of you in the National Pawn Shop looking at the Hawk Diamonds. One at the Flower Market. And there's the other one of you in that bullfighter's outfit. And now, you and Tasco keeping company with a burro.
I hope that's present company accepted. If not, it soon will be, because I'm getting sleepy.
Speaking of the pastoral scene, reminds me I've often thought that after this world conflict is over, I'd be perfectly happy to retire to a farm and watch the milk cans fill up. Cows are pretty good company when you get to know them.
You know, I'd like to get to know a few cows myself.
My cows, perhaps?
Why not?
I think we better shut the barn door now and get going. This kind of conversation's bad for my hay fever.
Do you wish to retire also, Miss Fraser?
Farthest thing from my thoughts, in either sense of the word.
I admire your unflagging spirit.
Yeah, well, that's not a pleasure you're likely to overindulge. See you two in the morning.
Good night.
Buenas noches. Hank.
Oh.
Shall we walk down the hill to the plaza? Watch the people, maybe, or have some refreshment in the pulqueria?
Oh, it sounds like the perfect ending. Let's go.
Lovely, isn't it? The flickering lights from the crest of this hill.
Oh, it's almost too beautiful. Nights like this aren't fair.
In what way?
Oh, they make me go all soft and sentimental.
Do you have some particular objection to feeling soft and sentimental?
Definitely. A working girl can't afford romantic thoughts. They never pay time and a half for overtime.
Not in dollars and cents, perhaps, but they might have other compensations.
Name one.
Well, marriage is generally recognized as the outstanding consummation of romance.
Wedding bells are for sweet young things with starry eyes. In career women, that's the light that fails.
I've noticed nothing but a sparkle in your eyes.
Could be. You know, early in life, I invested in a book called How to Take Pictures and Make Enemies, or Keep the Love Light Glowing to Hypnotize Your Subject. Remember our first meeting?
That is a source of constant pain to me. I bitterly regret and apologize for my lack of insight.
Oh, no hard feelings. Take it easy. Besides, it was all in the routine.
I realize that now. I also have realized your advice to be excellent.
And which golden rule is that?
Learn about life and love.
Oh, fine. I ought to charge you a slight fee now that you're a satisfied customer.
I'm not yet thoroughly happy.
Oh, that'll never do. What's bothering now?
How to overcome your prejudice against love.
Oh, I have nothing against the stuff. Just been too busy, that's all.
Is photography going to occupy your entire life?
Probably until I need blinkers and a pair of wooden legs.
Don't you ever consider another existence?
Certainly I do. On a night like this, I dream of a cottage by a brook, with a road leading past it. All the people in the world can go down that road, but I never even look up from my knitting, because I'm just a farmer's daughter and I don't know a thing about a camera.
Couldn't it be as wonderful a dream if you were a farmer's wife?
Wife, daughter, I won't quibble. It's only a dream.
Then let's take reality. Look down at Tasco below us here.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the people down there who we've met and loved and are now engaged in raising children. Economically, they have much to desire, and a solid diet of starches is...
Stick to the point. You were telling me about the people who've met and loved.
Oh, yes. Well, I've got a funny name, and I'm not much to look at.
You look a little like Gary Cooper in the dark.
Who?
Never mind. What were you saying?
Just that I love you. A man doesn't get rich working for the government, so I have practically nothing to offer. Nevertheless, I want you to become my wife.
What? I don't know what to say, Manchester. This is so sudden. And I'm not exaggerating.
I know it is. Passion has carried me away. Please forgive me. I'll see you tomorrow. Will you shake hands?
Oh, of course. Good night. Not at all. Well, how do you like that? Alone with flickering lights? People who met and loved and Tasco? Not much use in standing around. I guess I do wish to retire after all.
Okay, fellas, okay, break it up. It's not a 411 alarm. The senorita isn't hurt. There's no damage done. So just step away so the smoke can clear out. All right, now tell Daddy. Why do you want to burn this joint down?
I don't. I was burning the negatives of the pictures I took of Manchester, and they flared up for a minute and got away from me.
Why are you destroying them?
Oh, Hank, he proposed to me. Hmm? I can't double-cross a man who wants me to be his bride.
When did this change of heart occur?
Well, he knew me better than I did myself, after all.
Are you in love with him?
I don't know. It may just be the altitude or fatigue or...
I heard a commotion. Is there something the matter?
Yes, there is. Manchester, I've been a bad girl. I took all of those pictures of you to use in Lens.
I know.
You know?
That is why I was doing all I could to help you get them.
Weren't you forgetting the exception to the rule business?
Exactly. I'm sick of being an ambassador of goodwill and... of having people shrink at my Spanish.
Meaning us, no doubt.
And taking such care of how I act.
Oh, we have had moments when we loved you for yourself alone, Smallwood.
I wanted those pictures of yours to come out and cause me trouble in Washington. Then I could resign and get in the army where I belong. As long as I keep doing all right, they won't let me go.
In other words, you've merely been leading me on.
Not at all. I want you to be my wife, as I stated previously this evening. However...
I accept. That's a deal. Let's say goodnight again, and this time we're not going to shake hands.
This is going to be a most interesting finish. I'm very happy to have a ringside
seat. Oh, no, you don't, Hank. This is one continuity that you end strictly from imagination. Wait outside, will
you? But National Geographic doesn't furnish scenes like
this. Outside. I am going to kiss Manchester, and it may knock him cold.
You have heard Robert Carson's story, Southern Exposure, adapted for Author's Playhouse by Mary C. Quinn and directed by Harry Bubeck. The cast of Author's Playhouse tonight included Geraldine Kay as Mary Jane, Olin Soule as Hank Kramer, Clarence Hartzell as Manchester Smallwood, and Cheer Branson as Senorita Amata Akiri. The Mexican background melodies were sung by Senor Lucio Garcia, and the musical score was conducted by Joseph Galicchio. Next week, same time, same station, Authors Playhouse will bring you Frederick J. Lipp's dramatic story of a man whose mind snapped and of how he came back to the world he had once known and cherished. Cry for the Hunted.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. You can find past episodes and more old-time radio at relicradio.com. Alongside everything else, Relic Radio. Our contact form is on that page if you want to drop me a note. There's links there to Facebook, Twitter, our Shoutcast stream, our forum. Everything Relic Radio is linked to right on the front page of relicradio.com. There's also a donate button there. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, I certainly appreciate it. It's how we keep going. Thank you very much to those of you who have, and thank you for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of The Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.